Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, celebrity mentor, motivational speaker, and author, Curtis Lee Thomas.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And spoken word guest, Jesse Brown. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to the conversations we are going to have. I get the pleasure of having some very interesting conversations, and I have to say, I had a new life coaching client this week who came in. We spent about an hour and 15 minutes together. An hour and 10 of it, she was talking. And then the last 5 minutes, I gave her some exercises and all that because she wouldn't stop talking. And I realized that she needed to get some things out and needed me to know certain things. And it's interesting that a few of the things that she wanted me to know is that her father was right. That her father has always said that she was born under an unlucky star, that she was a sickly child and very unlucky, and had a tumor that they had to operate on right away. Incidentally, the tumor hasn't come back. She's perfectly healthy. But as far as she's concerned and her father's concerned, she's a sickly child and she was born sickly and she's going to be sick all her life. And she'll never get a job and she's not very smart. And so she repeated over and over again within that time how her father's right. He's right. Because and then she lists all the things. I tried this and I failed it. I tried that and failed. So I she's a failure. And her father's right. And she kept repeating that. And I thought, first of all, I wonder if this father knows just what kind of influence he's having on his daughter still today. And I wonder if she knows just how much she's predicating the rest of her life with the way she's talking about herself and her life. And so there's some work ahead, obviously, but it fascinated me that in this day and age, this kind of conversation can still exist, that people can still talk to each other that way. And I know they weren't joking, but even when they're joking, they're creating reality. And so I thought it was important enough to share here, and especially with our guests coming up, Curtis Lee Thomas, who talks on this subject and so much more. And then similarly, actually, with our spoken word artist guest, Jesse Brown. Looking forward to continuing this conversation on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, and fathers. No, I don't mean it that way. No, I don't mean it that way. I meant people.
There's so much that starts so young. And boy, I didn't even realize half of that until I became a father. So you're right. And realizing how impactful the smallest moments and reactions and judgments can be.
And it probably made you think, now that you've been thinking for your child and the betterment of your child, probably made you think of you as a child and what you heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's every day there's something to reflect on. And I'll catch myself in human moments or busy or this or that. And, you know, I'm present enough and aware enough that I think I'm doing a better job with that. But, you know, it still happens. And you realize you can see it and you can't get that back when you realize there's been a reaction to it.
And then building up what you would answer like what you would say instead.
Right. Well, it's a constant recalibration.
Yes.
To use the word.
Yes, constant recalibration. Well, our guest is a successful entrepreneur. He's a celebrity mentor, a motivational speaker, and author of the best-selling book, The World Is Yours, The Secrets Behind the Secret. He is with us after I heard him speak at the Veterans event and got to meet him through Valerie Heath. And so, and then Mark met him as well. And so we're it's like we're all old friends. And so welcome, friend, Curtis Lee Thomas, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
During that monologue, your head was nodding so hard, I thought you was going to fall off. You're cringing.
Yeah, I was cringing.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me was like, oh, you know, what am I going to comment on this? Because I just did an entire speech on this yesterday for a good half hour. But then I'm actually listening to the story, and it saddens me that these types of things happen, and it's just from lack of knowledge and information of how powerful our words are. And, you know, those programs that are instilled at us at young ages, unfortunately, we hold those programs, you know, for an entire lifetime until we you know, break that neural pathway and create a new belief system. And it's like the reason why people don't heal isn't because of our biology. It's because of our biography, right? Mm. So it's the story that we are told and the story that we tell ourselves. You know, she might have that story till she's in her 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And as long as she tells that story, then, you know, that validates it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It feeds it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my reaction.
And you're a father yourself.
I am.
And so did you ever have to, like, stop and think, okay, how do I say this?
Reframe constantly because we don't realize that we're not just doing it to them, but we're also doing it to ourselves.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it's like you can kill two birds with one stone, or you can heal two birds with one stone.
Nice, nice. I like that. Thank you. And then, what about you growing up? What did you hear around you? What was your biography there?
A lot of scarcity. You know, I grew up rough childhood, you know, lived in the projects and had to pluck cockroaches out of the cereal box. And it was...
Seriously?
Yeah, it was a rough...
You plucked them out?
You plucked them out. Yeah, literally.
We just ate them.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, it was, you know, it was tough. But luckily, I had an amazing mother who... You know, even though we lived in scarcity, she always gave me everything that I wanted and needed. So
awesome. Yeah. So then what was the switch for you? Because I've actually now seen you a few times, and you're always in a suit, and you look so sharp, and you.
Strangely enough, when I was 4 years old, this was around the time the Power Wheels trucks came out. So every kid in the universe wanted to drive at, you know, 4 years old. So my mom was going to get me one for Christmas and my birthday because I'm January 3rd. So, you know, you get two for
birthday.
One. Thank you. And she said she was going to get me one. And I said, no, I don't want that. I want a three-piece suit.
At 4 years old?
Yeah, 4 years old. She's like, wait, do you even know what a three-piece suit is? And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, well, obviously you don't know what a Power Wheels truck is. So she took me to Toys R Us. And I went to Toys R Us, and she's like, I put you on it. And she goes, you were screwing around doing donuts in Toys R Us. And when I got off of it, I had a smile from ear to ear.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, so is this what you want? And I was just like, no, I want a three-piece suit. So, like, I've always been instilled with...
Where did you see it?
You know, I don't even remember. I just always remembered, like, looking sharp and business and, like, James Bond and just being, like, cutting edge. And it's just been in me, obviously, 4 years old. I mean...
Wow.
You have to come in with that type of...
Did you get it?
Huh?
Did you get it?
Yeah. I got my three-piece suit.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the start.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, that was, so it's, that's always been in me. And, you know, business has always been, you know, a passion of mine. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago when I was, well, actually 7 years ago when I was 28, is when I had some spiritual experiences happen that really shifted my life. And that's what, you know, the book was born and my speaking career was born and all the stuff that I'm in now.
Now, you know, I've perused the book and you certainly speak on a lot more than just some experiences that happened. Where did you gain this knowledge so quickly?
Yeah, you know, half of it, I would say, was just a lot of due diligence and research. I did do a lot of research. And the other half, you know, was spirit. Spirit, I mean, information was being downloaded into me. And that's the best way I can explain it. Mm-hmm. And if you ever heard of channeling before, mm-hmm. That's actually what was happening. You know, you reach these moments where, you know, I would just have this sense of flow. And I would just be writing things, and then I'd reread them when I was done. And I was like, you know, who wrote this stuff?
Wow.
Yeah, and then I later found out that's what, you know, channeling was. It was just, you know, inspired. And all the greats from Albert Einstein, you know, they got all their information in that flow state, in that meditative state. So I was able to find those places and, you know, not purposely or deliberately, it kind of just happened on its own.
So spirit's like, who are we going to give all this information to? Where's that guy with the three-piece suit?
I don't know. I guess so.
when we come back, actually, you talk about the secrets behind the secret, and so that's actually come up quite a bit, and we've never really talked about it here on the show. So yeah, It'll be interesting to get your perspective. I know that's a subtitle to your book, "The World Is Yours." I should say, "The World Is Yours," and there's a parenthesis around the why, so it also reads, "The World Is Ours, The Awakening, The Secret Behind the Secret." Curtis Lee Thomas, and you can get the book, learn more about Curtis Lee Thomas at CurtisLeeThomas.com. Curtis is with a K, CurtisLeeThomas.com. We'll be right back with Curtis and a little later on, live here in the studio with our spoken word artist, Jesse Brown, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. "He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased." It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Curtis Lee Thomas. And the secrets behind the secrets. What are you talking about?
So,
because the secret said the secret, supposedly.
So this, okay, the secret said the secret. So what was the secret? So the secret was the law of attraction.
Right.
Which at that time, I believe was about 10, 11 years ago. That was much needed because they're responsible for having the law of attraction go mainstream. Mm. And it's a law in the universe, just like companies have bylaws, mm-hmm. states have laws, federal have laws. Well, guess what? The universe has laws as well. So they introduced the law of attraction, but there's other laws to the universe, which I talk about in the book, about 12 of them. And so, but the secrets behind the secret is for people who wanted more from the secret, who felt like there was more, we want to know, why is it called the secret? Because our parents didn't teach us this, right? School didn't teach us this. Mm-hmm. But it's something so integral to the outcome of our life that we truly have the power to manifest things in our world, in our reality. Well, something so great, why wasn't that taught to us? Why does it have to be a secret? And if it's a secret, who's keeping it a secret? Because mm-hmm. when you're keeping something a secret, it's because you're trying to hide something.
The secreteers, I think.
the secret shoppers. Yeah.
So I do delve deep down the rabbit hole as to why it's a secret, who's keeping the secret, and what they're trying to hide.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that part.
Yeah.
But for a general conversation, what are some of the secrets?
Well, the other laws of the universe, mm-hmm. The law of vibration, the law of correspondence, the law of gender, the law of compensation. You know, a lot of people, giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. A lot of people give. And this isn't just about money. Mm-hmm. Even like a lot of women, they'll give so much of themselves mm-hmm. in relationships and do everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they don't leave enough for themselves. And they end up experiencing depression and all types of issues. So it's all about the natural ebb and flow of life, being able to...
This is such an important topic. And what ends up happening, the women end up blaming the men, but you're saying that it's the giver who has to...
Learn how to receive. Mm. Some people have to learn how to receive, and other people have to learn how to give.
Mm.
It's like, when I talk about the natural ebb and flow, it's like breathing. You take in as much air as, you give out. And it's a practice. You practice giving and receiving. And it's a law in the universe. So that's one of the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes much deeper. And the reason why you didn't get to that is because the book is strategically written where as you go deeper into the book, you go deeper down the rabbit hole.
Mm.
So I purposely don't say certain things in the beginning of the book because I don't want to deter the reader
mm-hmm.
from rejecting any information because the message is so important in the book that I couldn't jeopardize that. Mm. But you'll notice
good
as you...
for you.
Yeah. You go, so it'll disclose more.
So you ease them down the rabbit hole.
Ease on down the rabbit hole. There should be a song about that. Could you talk about the law of vibration? I like that.
Yeah, so everything's energy and energy's everything. You know, even my hand right now,
mm-hmm.
it's not... solid.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that, by the way. I wanted to tell you.
Right,
you
I was pretty transparent coming through here, right?
Yeah,
they say, speaking truth and transparency. but it's vibrating at a rate like a ceiling fan, right? Mm. So you see the three blades, and then as it starts to spin, you start to see two blades, and you start to see one blade, and then it looks solid,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm. So the law of vibration is that everything has a specific vibration and a certain frequency, and that's what the law of attraction is about. It's about tuning into the frequency of that which you want to attract into your life, and then it can't help but to be yours.
So you were all about the three-piece suit frequency.
The three-piece suit frequency.
Oh, absolutely,
early. Yeah.
Sure.
I got it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I believe it. Speaking of I got it, how have you used the law of attraction in your life?
So the best way I explain for people who don't know what the law of attraction is that the universe is a giant mirror. So you smile at a mirror, what's the mirror going to do back? It's gonna break, smile back. Touche.
No, sorry.
You know, you frown, it's gonna frown back at you. So what you put out is what you get back. But the easiest way to explain it in an analogy is like it's a key. Visualize the law of attraction as a key. The key has very specific ridges. Okay, so three main ridges. The first one is what you want. What's your intention? What is it that you want? What you want is truly up to you, but how and when you get it is not.
Tell me about it.
Okay. The second ridge is visualization. Can you visualize what you want coming to fruition? The clearer the picture, the faster you're going to get what you want. The third thing is emotion. Can you feel the emotion of what you want as if you already received what is you? And that's the key. The moment you feel the emotion as if you already have it, you're already doing it or already achieved it, that's what sends that frequency out to the universe, and then it can't help but to come to you.
Because you're literally vibrating.
You are.
Yeah.
And the fourth and final step, now that your key's made, and you put the key in the door, the last one is action. You got to turn the key. And a lot of our manifestations do come to us, but we don't recognize them because it comes disguised. And it usually comes in people. Think about every good thing that happened in your life, right? To get in your own, you know, radio show. Anything has been through meeting somebody who gave you an opportunity. So now this can come, your manifestation can arrive in a text message inviting you to an event, mm-hmm. or an old friend who used to be, you know, a pain in your butt, inviting you to dinner. Mm-hmm. And if you say no, well, guess what? You just missed your opportunity. That person is going to introduce you to this person who's going to give you exactly what you've been praying and asking for the last 18 months. But we don't take risk, you know, when things do come our way. So it's important
about,
to be conscious.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
And so I happen to know that you have a couple of stories that we'd love to hear, at least one.
Okay, okay.
About the law of attraction in your life.
I have a good one, actually.
Yes, you do.
So I'm sitting on my couch, and I remember this was a very distressed moment in my life. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I just failed at a business, and I was trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. And I'm watching TV, and the show comes on, For the Love of Ray J. I'm not sure if you guys know who Ray J is. So you know who Kim Kardashian is, right?
No.
So how Kim Kardashian got famous is by this gentleman, Ray J. And I'll just leave it at that. You guys can do your Google searches.
Oh, okay.
So he has his own show on VH1. And I'm just sitting there and I'm watching this guy.
Did they
make
a video by any chance?
I don't know. Maybe you have to Google it. And he's in his Lamborghinis and he's in, you know, I see palm trees. And I just remember sitting there. I was born in California. I'd never been there at this point. I'd never been back. So now I'm sitting there. I'm like, wow, like I want to go back to California. I want to know what it's like. I want to see Lamborghinis and, you know, live that lavish lifestyle. It would be really nice. Mm-hmm. Didn't know how it was going to happen, but I was feeling the emotions. I was like, wow, like I visualized myself in California living that lavish lifestyle. So I get a phone call a week later from a friend from the Lex Diamond Company. And
a previous business of yours.
Not at that point. It was just a friend calling me.
Uh-oh.
And I worked a deal where he made jewelry and I was trying to help him sell it and market it and whatnot. So he brought me on board for the vice president of marketing. And I put together some events backstage, gifting suites at MTV Awards, BET Awards and whatnot. So I was out to Cali just weeks later.
Wow.
I made it to California and I'm finally there and I'm at a gifting suite at the BET Awards and, you know, Beyonce's there. I met Beyonce, I met, you know, Puff Daddy. And then who comes in? Ray J himself. And I was like, oh man, it's like, hey, ended up selling him like a $50,000 watch. He reached back out to me. He wanted to buy another one. And he said, hey, can you give me a deal on this one? He goes, and I'll get you on the show. Because we're doing an episode where, you know, it was like, I don't know, Sean John, they were doing a wardrobe, something where he needed a jeweler. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm there. So I go there and, you know, they're filming. I think this is season two because it was the end of season one that I was watching. And next thing you know, it's all said and done. I'm back home, fast forward 6 months on the same couch. And I remember 6 months ago, I'm watching TV saying I'd love to get to California. I'd love to live that lifestyle. 6 months later, the show comes on, and I'm in the TV with Ray J. On the episode, I couldn't. See, this is why what we want is up to us, but how and when we get it. See, I didn't expect it was going to come that fast. It was weeks I was sitting in front of this guy in California, Beyonce, everybody. And then how it happened, I couldn't have predicted it'd be better than that. How could I predict that I was going to be on a show? It was a dating show with like 100 women and just this one man. How was I going to get on that show? So you got to leave things up to the universe, because it's way smarter and intelligent, and it likes to have way more fun than we do.
So you just had to sit there and feel like, I'm going back to Cali.
I knew it. I just knew it. You feel it. You feel it. You know it. You vibrate it, and just leave the how up to the universe.
You know, I have to agree with you. That is a great story.
Yeah. Thank you.
just want you to know that. Is the law of attraction for everyone, though? Because people say, yeah, that's good enough for, you know, he could do it because, you know, he's learned, you know, he wanted a three-piece suit when he was four. But me, mm-hmm. my whole life, my father's right. You know, I've been sick and I'm not playing, but people feel that way. People talk that way. So all of a sudden now you're saying, but you could do it.
Well, here's the thing. Is that whether we like it, don't like it, know it, or don't know it, the law of attraction is working for you and you're using it right now.
All the time.
No matter what. It's like the law of gravity. It's always in effect. You can't pause it. You can't stop it. And you can't skip a turn. So the key is to know the game in which you play and then get good at it. And that's it. And it's a choice. So it's not a matter if it's working for you, because I guarantee it is, good or bad. It's just a matter of are you going to accept that, and are you going to learn to get good at it? And it's just practice. That's it. Just like anything else.
And maybe a good way, a place to start too, is also to look at what they are manifesting. What they are attracting.
Yes.
Like when they say, "Not this again." Right. Bing.
Yeah. That's a good indication that you're a master manifester at the same thing, which is Einstein says that's the definition of insanity, right?
Right. Right. The book is The World Is Yours, or can also be read The World Is Ours, The Awakening, The Secrets Behind the Secret. We've been talking to, and we'll continue talking for just a few minutes more when we come back with Curtis Lee Thomas. And you could get his book and also find out more about him, because you do one-on-ones, right? You do, and you do business speaking keynote and all that stuff.
Doing more speaking, retreats, and
retreats.
Group,
well, when we
coaching.
Come back, we'll talk about a retreat.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So CurtisLeeThomas.com. That's CurtisLeeThomas.com. We'll be right back with Curtis. And in a little bit, our spoken word artist, Jesse Brown, will be joining us here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, "When the student is ready, the teacher appears." Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic, while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo.
You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Curtis Lee Thomas. We've touched on so many topics, but there are so many more in the book, The World Is Yours, The Awakening. Curtis, people can come see you at a really special place. What are you doing in Peru?
Well, I'm putting together a trip to Peru. It's a retreat. So we're doing ayahuasca. For the people who haven't heard of ayahuasca, it's this indigenous plant medicine in Peru that the shamans, we call it here alternative medicine. And I was really, really curious about it. I heard a lot of celebrities talking about it from, you know, Chelsea Lately, Joe Rogan, Jim Carrey. And it was illegal in the United States. So the only place I could go and legally do it was in Peru. So
and,
I went there.
And everybody wears a three-piece suit.
And everyone wears a three-piece suit, yeah. And I found out, well, I heard that one session of ayahuasca is the equivalent to 5 years of psychotherapy. And I was saying, well, geez, that's a pretty bold statement. So I took this program, and you do seven ceremonies in 12 days. And so I did seven ceremonies, and that's the equivalent to 35 years of psychotherapy.
So you've had 35 years
and
of psychotherapy.
I concur. It is the most amazing. It transformed me. It's actually the reason that my book got finished, because I was just dealing with a lot of spiritual sludge and couldn't focus. And coming out of the jungle, I went in one person and came out a completely different person. And I just knew things that I didn't know. I left, you know, lower functioning aspects of myself, well, you know, we'll call ego, and I was able to call in higher functioning aspects, which is, if you go on my website, it says awaken your inner superhero. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you do these types of spiritual retreats. So I had these transformations for myself, and I wanted other people to experience what I experienced. So we're doing that, and then we're, you know, we're going to Cusco and Machu Picchu. We're going to climb the mountain. We're doing some amazing things, so I'm going to be doing a lot more retreats.
And people can learn more about that at CurtisLeeThomas.com?
Yeah, they can go on the website. It's not on there. It's kind of private because it's a small group. But if somebody is interested and they want to go for healing or spiritual development, they can send me an email and we can have a conversation about
that. And they can
that.
Email you through the website?
They can email me. Faster would be Curtis@IAmAwakened.com.
Curtis@IAmAwakened.com.
You got it.
And that's IAM, right?
IAM, correct.
Yeah, very good. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Truly. And I knew this day would come the last time we met, and we kind of like missed each other. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll see him on the show, I'm sure, someday. And yeah. And here we finally. And we actually tried this a couple times.
Yeah.
But your schedule and our schedule, just, and here we are. This is awesome.
Here we are.
And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Curtis Lee Thomas.
What a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we have some shout outs.
We got a couple of shout outs tonight. We want to give a shout out to our friends at the Conscious Life Expo, where they bring people together with ideas, products, and possibility over jam-packed 4 days to feast the mind and body and deepen our collective connection to spirit. ConsciousLifeExpo.com. Check them out. We also want to give a shout-out to some friends in the studio, Michelle and Jason Belise, the founders of the Authentic Self Institute, which is a kind of a sister company, I think, to the Recalibration. Through proprietary testing and software being developed by ASI and analysis and coaching from their guides, ASI can identify an individual's unique God-given talent and help them to design life and careers that allow them to utilize their talents to be used in conjunction with their passions. AuthenticSelfInstitute.com. Dorothy, this is Irma from Los Angeles. I have been following you on Life Changes Show and on Facebook and was blessed to find you. I participated in your class, Energetic Alchemy, and it helped me remember that I am here to do healing. I have friends who are healers, and they tell me that I should not charge for services because my healing abilities are a gift from God. I believe this is what I have come to Earth to be, and I charge a very nominal fee. How do I answer these critics?
My dear friend, healing is as much of a vocation as anything else on this planet. You are indeed a most powerful healer, and I'm grateful to know you and to have benefited personally from your amazing abilities. I used to have the same silly belief that you have now because it is a program that has been imposed upon us forever. However, I know that you deserve to be paid for the blessings of your healing abilities which you share with your clients. What I say to those who say this kind of thing to me is, yes, my abilities are gifts from God. However, so are the gifts that others share and have no problem being paid for, whether they were gifted with voices to sing and our abilities to dance, paint, teach, do plumbing, write, sell groceries, act, own apartments or homes to sell or rent. We all pay them without questioning. As teachers and healers, we deserve to be paid as much as the others providing services to us. So please thank your friends for their words, and then you might want to establish a new network of people who love and appreciate who you are and what you're doing. Let's find a way to create healthy boundaries and to remember that just because someone we know and care for has an opinion opposite of ours, we don't need to take their thoughts and beliefs on as our truths. You are awesome and an amazing healer, and the world needs you. Thank you for embracing and accepting your gifts and sharing them with the ones who most need and appreciate all that you are and have to offer.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Thank you, Dorothy, for that Ask Dorothy segment. And when we come back, we'll have our spoken word artist, our guest, Jesse Brown, with us here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Curtis Lee Thomas, and joining us in the studio is spoken word artist Jesse Brown. Now, Jesse covers all kinds of subject matter, all within Tough Love Talks. And his biggest subject matter so far is love versus lust and the lessons he's learned around that. He has a book coming out, Love is Not for Pussies. So welcome, Jesse Brown, to the show.
Thank you. You know, I have to say this, Curtis. You can kill two birds with one stone. You can heal two birds with one stone. Wow. Love that. I'm definitely going to steal that.
I will give
you credit for sure, but that's going to be in one of my pieces, no doubt. As I read it, I'm the stone. Having two kids, you know, a 15 and a 14-year-old, it really is applicable to what I do and why I do what I do.
Goosebumps, man. Goosebumps. Yeah. Truth bumps.
Talk about what you do. Jesse, you and I had a good 45 minutes, almost an hour together before the show.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was great for me, too. Thank you. And you read me from your book, which I can't wait for it to come out. And hopefully we'll get to promote on the show as well. But I have to say, so many things that you talked about, Curtis talked about.
I know.
The two of you need to connect because he's putting it into speaking. You're doing it through, right?
Absolutely.
I kept thinking of you. I'm like,
Did you guys see me? I was just lifting my head. Everybody says something. I'm like, yes. Absolutely.
So this is also an exciting moment because this is your first time on radio.
It is.
But also because this is very new art form for you, because one day Spirit said, okay, we have some downloads. Where's the guy with the leather jacket for these downloads? Talk to us about that moment.
So I was driving to my regular day job, and 3 days earlier I had prayed. I had asked, I said, God, I want to discover my unique ability, the thing that I love to do that I can wake up every day and do for the rest of my life. And I'm driving to work, and I'm pulling off on the freeway, and it was when the Harvey Weinstein bit was coming on, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there at the light, and I just started typing in my phone, Harvey Weinstein, sex fiend, image, no longer pristine, was it ever, maybe never, doesn't matter, before you judge, wipe the smudge off your mirror, man, have you ever, sure, I'll admit that shit's pretty weird, sit right here, I'll take a shower, when I get out, we'll play for an hour or two, and it just starts going, and I just start writing, and from then, 15 minutes later, I'm like, what did I just do? And that's the start of it.
You walked into work, and you shared it with...
I shared it with a coworker of mine. I said, hey, look, I need to put this in front. I don't even know. Look, just give me some feedback. Am I just, you know? And he looked at me and said, you're in the wrong business, man.
Well, good on you for finding this. And so we are happy to watch this career in the making. More power to you. Actually, you already gave us a taste. Before we do any more talking together, why don't we hear the first bit, actually, the first spoken word poetry that you're going to share. You wrote for this show today.
I did. I wrote both of them.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
All right. So which one is going to be the first one?
So the first one is called The Day Last Year Died. Should I do an intro to it a little bit and kind of explain where?
It sounds kind of like New Year-ish.
Yeah, it is New Year-ish, basically. Oh. So I think it's fitting. So I'll just jump right into it. Really what it comes down to is, look, the dissolving of my marriage to my high school sweetheart really basically sent me on like a hardcore crash course in cell phone awareness and how it affects others. I say like a bull in a china closet. I'm the bull, in case you didn't guess. And really what I learned is my love relationships are just issues are usually just a reflection of how I relate to life and others, and vice versa. And so it really comes down to love versus lust, you know.
I want to talk more about love versus lust after you do your first bit, and then we'll come back to it, because it's a very important point. I love how you talk about it. So here is Jesse Brown sharing The Day Last Year Died.
That's right.
Live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
December 31st, the day last year died. All its moments and motives have been tested and tried. There's no going back. I can't even try. Like grabbing the wind to reverse in a lie. The reality of being alive, living, existing space and time. And here's what I found in my time on this round piece of stardust. What's done is done come December 31. Some days I lost and some days I won. The question for me is, how did I run? This race, this 365 rotational trip, lapping the sun. What was my goal? Was it just to have fun? I'm convicted and conflicted regarding my ambition. All I've given, all I've taken, making money for my honey and the kids we were given. The ones that we made. I say I'm for the world, but the truth is I just want to get paid. I just want to get laid. If you gave me the choice, I'd spend the rest of my days in a cabana sipping iced tea lemonade in the shade. I'm feeling some shame. Is this all I crave? What kind of example do I lead for my kids? They watch what I do, not just what I say. Do my actions display my affection for others, or is it only my wants that concern me? How about my brothers and sisters from other mothers and misters? Do I cut off my emotions with selfish proverbial scissors? All I seem to hear these days on social media and other outlets, the craze, is make sure I take enough time for myself. After all, what good am I for others if I'm not getting enough self-help? Did I get enough travel, vacations, rest, relaxation? But when is enough enough? Sounds more like self-infatuation, a narcissistic epidemic, egoic inflammation. All I'm asking, is there a limitation? Maybe what I really need is a New Year resolution revolution, a January 1 revelation. Listen, I'm not saying self-care is not important, of course not, but isn't that sort of redundant to say to myself every day when there's so many other things that stand in my way of becoming the person I want to be? I need to move beyond the selfish phase. Why do I get more likes for a selfie than a post that inspires change? And why doesn't that bother me more than it does? It's strange. I need a priority rearrange. C.S. Lewis told me I can't go back and change the beginning, but I can start where I am and change the ending. And so I pray that at the end of my days, as I look back on all that I say, do, think, and craved, that my kids see the light at the end of the tunnel I paved, the man that I made with my decisions, my words, the actions, the verbs that define all in my life that is claimed to be mine. I hope from them I won't want to hide. On the first of the year, this thought entered my mind for others. And so I confide in all of you, I decide, to try to live every day like I did on the day after the day last year died.
Wow.
Whoa.
Man.
Wow, thank you, Jesse Brown. Boy, that is tough love talking right there. Tough Love Talks is actually the website. That's toughlovetalks.com. And there's a YouTube channel as well, but you get all the information there at Tough Love Talks. And hopefully this video is going to be up there soon as well. That was the day last year died. Love versus lust. The first thing that comes to mind is, of course, romantic, sexual.
Desire.
Yes.
Sure.
So, but you take it even further.
Yeah. Well, as I was going into, remember, this is the first time on radio, so thank you for your patience on that, Filippo.
You're great.
What I learned is that my love relationship issues are just a reflection of how I relate to life and others, or vice versa, right? And it really comes down to, when I refer to love versus lust lessons, if you will, I'm not just referring to sexual desire, but rather making day-to-day decisions for the whole, you know, you and me, than just for the part, me. So it's really my heart versus my ego. You know, my ego feeds on, you know, instant self-gratification. I want what I want, and I want it now. What can I get, right? What it can get. Whereas my heart is much more reflective of not just getting, but giving. So, you know, like a win-win for everyone. So basically, Tough Love Talks is me having a conversation with myself in front of you. About my struggle to be driven by my heart rather than my ego.
Proud of you.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you.
You've come a long way since that Colorado River.
Mark, that's so funny.
Wait, how far back do you two go?
Down the river.
down the river.
Okay.
Those are some great trips. I'm learning a lot about myself, you guys, and learning will never stop. And so the good thing about this is I have so much material. By lunchtime, I've already gotten so much, you know. I mean, I think coming over here, I cut a lady off in the 5 freeway. Like, why do I do that? Why did I do that? Well, because I was thinking about where I was going, didn't really care about where she was going. But she had somewhere to go to. So it's really, that's just what it's about. I want to be very clear. In the next one that I wrote, which is called Tough Love Talks, it was really important that my intention with it is that I'm not here to teach anyone anything. I don't want that platform, you know. I would feel like a fraud. I rather just want my mistakes, to allow my mistakes, learning about myself through those mistakes, to be my art. And that's really what I'm focused on.
You, in the book, that in the excerpt of the book that you read me before the show, you give examples of how you weren't this. And obviously you were a kid, you were growing up in this culture, and you were completely different. When did this switch happen, or when did it start happening for you to be in this consciousness?
You know, I grew up in a Christian atmosphere. So, you know, even being in that atmosphere and being a part of it, and even as so much as being, you know, a leader in a church and having my own church for 4 years, you know, this is 12 years ago, something like that. I was, you know, always knew and was aware of my struggles, you know, as just ego and just selfishness. Really, selfishness is what I want to say. And I don't, when my marriage, basically the dissolving of my marriage took place, it really, like I said, set me on a hardcore crash course in self-unawareness and how it affects others.
Self-unawareness.
Yeah.
Good words.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a daily thing, and it'll never stop. And that's my message. You know, again, I'm just speaking to myself, and you're just listening to it.
And we're glad we are. Well, we get to hear more, thankfully. And thank you for sharing that. You shared something you said you didn't want to, and I'm proud of you.
I wasn't wanting to necessarily, I've thought about it, wanting to share my past as being a pastor, just because I don't want to be put in a box, and I don't want that to keep someone from listening to me, as well as, you know, listen. I don't want someone to listen to me for that or not listen to me for it, because we're all the same. We're all.
I think you've broken the box. I don't think you have to worry about it.
That's why it's called a pastor. All in the past.
Mark, you got. Nice. I love your double one time.
Well, great. Here's Jesse Brown one more time, right. Performing for us his spoken word poetry, "Tough Love Talks," live here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
Tough Love Talks. Ready, set, go. Watch me go toe-to-toe with myself. It's like I'm a clone. Muhammad Ali versus Smokin' Joe. Pull up a seat. You're in the front row. Except it's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual plight. I deliver rapid, rhythmic, audible blows to my ego. Line upon line, row upon row, for the purpose of personal growth. Because I reap what I think, not just what I sow. If I'm living unconscious, I'm not in the know. The results are autonomous. The subconscious is running the show. Usually everyone else sees in me what I don't, sees what I won't. Because I'm insisting on being the star of the show, the friend of the ego instead of its foe. Some say I should give myself a break, but that's what I've been telling myself for so many years. It's like I'm a fake. I'm ready to make the most of this life. I got tired and wired from personal strife. These words give me life. They cut through my heart like a surgical knife. I take to the keys, I reflect, and I type. My rhymes are ripe. I'm sick of the hype. Love is a fight. I want to be ready every minute. R.E.M., Michael Stipe, walking the freeway singing, "Don't let yourself go." Because everybody cries. Yeah, and everybody dies. But I'm not just my body. That's where the truth lies. He says to hold on. I know what he means, but I'm letting go of all that I've known, all that I've shown, my arrogant knowledge and the pain that I've sown. I'm like a brand new baby, but I'm now in the know. Sharp as a hawk because of tough love talks. This dead man walks. Only to rise. My heart's beating with love, growing in size. I'm shocked with the paddles have come back to life. Led to the rock that is higher than I. I'll stand at the top. I'll proclaim it this time. No delay. There's no other way. This humbled man is here to stay. There's nothing else to say until I turn on the mic and I'm ready to lay another talk down. I look up and say, praise be the day. I'm no longer afraid of what others will say. Some may relate. Doesn't matter because this is my fate. Got love in my heart and no longer hate. Forgiven myself, no need to escape. Fear is my food, I'm primal as ape. I'll fight for my life, but yours I won't take. Harmless the dove and wise as the snake. I hold out my hand, I'm ready to shake. Let's agree, it's you versus you and me versus me. I'll do my thing on the video screen. Take what you will, I'll give it all free. There's so many storms to weather. So let's walk together so that we can reach our potential, the life-giving tree, humility. It sets us free. Subscribe to my channel and soon you will see this is the best way to grow. I'll prove it together, you and me.
Wow. Right on. Jesse Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Brilliant.
Tough Love Talks. That's the name of the YouTube channel, and that's also the website, toughlovetalks.com. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. I'm looking forward to so much more. And thank you for bringing us two new pieces and sharing, as you did, from the heart.
Thanks, guys.
So again, thank you to Jesse Brown. And one more time, thank you to Curtis Lee Thomas for being our guest today. And we should probably mention he's going to be at the Conscious Life Expo as well. And that he brought us, by the way, a gift, Argonite.
Yeah, yeah.
Argonite.
Argonite crystal pyramid.
That's so cool. It's going to stay right there on our table. And you sell those, right?
Well, actually, yeah. I have a talk on Friday at the Conscious Life Expo, and then I have a booth there. One of my companies is going to...
And you're going to be selling this.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, with that, that is our show. A big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And a thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager at that network. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.